Good morning. All right. So this last week, on Christmas Day, I dropped Colleen and the kids off at the airport, and they headed back to St. Louis for the week, and I stayed here. And so I've been by myself all week long, and I did not know what to do with myself. Someone asked me the last time that happened, and I go, at least 10 years. So I was telling someone this week, Colleen would call me in the evenings about 8 o'clock, that I went a whole day, like 3 days this week, never using my vocal cords. I just sat there. I was just like, wow, what is this like? So I'm all rested up, and I'm ready to go this morning, so I hope you're ready. Hope you all had a great Christmas. I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you had good time with family, friends, but most importantly, I hope you enjoyed reflecting upon the birth of the Savior and what that meant for us. So this morning, if you would, go ahead and get a little head start here, but you can turn to the book of John, chapter 10, and just kind of hold that spot for a little bit. But with 2018 kind of looming upon us, today is a day to kind of take inventory of yourself. Many people make resolutions only to go back on them. Thankfully, as we hear from God's word today, our shepherd is eternal and never goes back on his word. We're going to hear three words a lot today: sheep, shepherd, and gate. So get used to those. And I want to make sure we all understand this, that when I use the word sheep going forward today, I'm talking about everyone in this room. So if you would, John chapter 10, 1 through 21, focus in on with me. It says, I tell you the truth, the man does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep will follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for how it speaks to us and moves in our hearts. Lord, do that with us this morning. Speak to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so the entire passage here calls to mind imagery found in Ezekiel 34, where the prophet spoke of the false shepherds, which were Israel's evil leaders, and predicted that the true shepherd would come and provide God's people with genuine care and leadership. So in comparison to the Pharisees, who were bad leaders of God's people, Jesus was the true shepherd of all God's people. So kind of reflecting on the Christmas season, we tend to pay close attention to the shepherds. All right, if you joined us last week for Christmas Eve service, I mentioned the shepherds several times because they played such a pivotal role in the story. And so we have this comparison that the shepherds were notified of the birth of Christ, and they came and they saw him and they worshiped him, and they looked after this flock, and they were in the middle of this field at night. And in the same way, we see this comparison that Jesus is the good shepherd over his flock. At night, the shepherd often would gather the sheep into a fold to protect them from thieves, bad weather, wild animals. And a sheepfold could be a cave, a shed, open area surrounded by walls. Usually these walls might have been 8-10 feet high. Sometimes the top of the wall was lined with thorns to further discourage predators and thieves. So the fold's single entrance made it easier for a shepherd to guard his flock. So often several shepherds used a single fold, and they took turns guarding the entrance. And so in towns where many people each owned a few sheep, the combined herd was watched over by a shepherd. And mingling those animals was not a problem, since each flock responded readily to his own shepherd's voice. The gate is the main entrance to a sheep pen. And Jesus explained that anyone who tried to get in any other way besides going through the gate was a thief. That person would be up to no good. And only the shepherd would have the right to enter the sheepfold and call his own sheep out to follow him. Jesus rebuked those who would claim to lead God's people without regarding the Messiah. Such leaders have false ambitions, selfish desires, and evil intentions. Now, when the shepherd arrived, he would call his own sheep by name. And because the sheep recognized only his voice, they would come out and follow him to pasture. So kind of in the story here, we see the sheepfold of Judaism held some of God's people who had awaited the coming of their shepherd, the Messiah. So when the shepherd came, believing Jews recognized his voice and followed him. True believers, as sheep belonging to the true shepherd, would never follow a stranger pretending to be their shepherd. All right, so the illustration Jesus uses was meant to communicate spiritual truths here. And like most of the time when Jesus was talking to people, they just did not get it. All right, so Jesus explained the symbolic meaning of the gate before identifying the shepherd. So the shepherd will call together his flock and take them to the pasture. Near the pasture is another enclosed place for the sheep. All right, so here the shepherd sits in the doorway, acting as the gate. And the shepherd can go out to the pasture, or say inside the walls of that enclosure. To go out or in is to pass by the shepherd's watchful eye. So the shepherd sees them. He always knows what's going on. So Jesus, having realized that they just aren't grasping this, he said to them, "I am the gate for the sheep." So the reference to all others who came before was not necessarily directed to the Old Testament saints and prophets, but at those who had come on the scene pretending to be the Christ or who had led the people away from God. We see that even today. People thinking that they are the true leaders when they are not. There's only one Messiah. There's only one Savior. And so we see that Jesus, when he was talking here, he's referring to the evil Jewish religious leaders who care nothing about the people, but only about their rules and their reputations. Matthew 23:13 says, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." We live in a world today that people are constantly getting in the way of following Jesus. And as we reflect mostly on this time of year of the coming of the Messiah, he is alive, he's well, he's working amongst us, and we need to be able to put aside the distraction of this world, the distraction of people, and see what we are intended to see, that we have a good shepherd who is out for our best interest, who wants us to follow him. Because Jesus was the genuine Messiah, the sheep could enter through him to be saved, pointing to spiritual salvation and spiritual security. All right, so look at this. So he kind of runs down in the passage a few things. But so the thief obviously has evil intentions. And so Jesus kind of pictures this heartless individual who began by taking all he could and then killing what he couldn't have. Anything else he destroyed. God's people, Israel, had suffered through more than their share of evil leaders, false prophets, and false messiahs. And by contrast, Jesus gives life in all its fullness to his sheep. So Jesus would provide his sheep with eternal life, and it would cost him his own life. Jesus is devoted and dedicated. So, kind of described in the following verses, there are four characteristics that set him apart from the false and evil shepherds. He approaches directly. He enters at the gate. He doesn't go over the wall. He doesn't go dig a hole under the wall. He doesn't plow through the wall. He goes to the gate. He has God's authority, because the gatekeeper allows him to enter. He meets real needs. The sheep recognize his voice and follow him. I remember in college, I had been a Christian a couple years, and I was going through a really hard time. And I was in Bible school, and I finally got to a point. I said, "God, what is the point of all this?" And I was about to walk away from it all. And I quit going to church. I quit going to class. I did all those things. But I can tell you one thing. I never stopped hearing his voice. I could put on a show and I could act like I didn't care, but I could still hear him. That's because he meets real needs. We know him. We recognize him. And we can't shut him off. Fourth thing, by the way, I should preface that. I did eventually, obviously, go back to school and start going to church again. Just a couple of years ago. Fourth thing, he has sacrificial love. He is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Now, here's the thing. I think most of us in this room, especially if you are a parent, I don't know that there's a question whether we would lay down our life for our kids, or maybe a loved one, a spouse, whatever. Not many would lay down their life for a complete stranger. And not many of us would lay down our life for everyone in the world forever. Like, well, he's not all that nice. I don't think I want to do this for him. The good shepherd does, because he cares for all his sheep. Jesus pointed out the most important trait of the good shepherd is that he lays down his life for the sheep. So important, he actually repeats it four different times in the passage. In verse 11, verse 15, verse 17, and in verse 18. Now, I don't know about you, but if I tend to repeat myself, it's probably because it's important. He wants us to know how much he cares. Jesus is painting this imagery for us in this passage that a shepherd's life could at times be dangerous. I don't know. I don't think we often think about the fact that maybe, especially in this time, but a shepherd, that's an easy, you just sit there, you watch sheep. How hard is that? You're out in that field all the time. In bad weather, storms, people attacking. Wild animals were common in the countryside of Judea. And a good shepherd would indeed risk their life to save their sheep. So what a difference between a good shepherd and the thief and the hired hand. The thief steals, kills, and destroys. The hired hand does the job only for money, but readily flees when danger comes. The good shepherd is committed to the sheep. Jesus is not merely doing a job. He is committed to loving us and laying down his life for us. Just as the shepherd calls his sheep and they follow only him, so Jesus knows his people. Jesus had already spoken of leading out his sheep from the fold of Judaism. And Jesus knew, however, that he had other sheep that were not from Judaism. The Gentile believers. And that right there is an insight into his worldwide mission to die for all sinful people all over the world. The good shepherd came to gather together God's people into one flock. The Father loved the Son for his willingness to die in order to secure the salvation of the believers. And Jesus wanted people to know that he gave up his life. It was not taken from him, and that the Son's authority came directly from God the Father. Jesus had been priorly accused of being demon-possessed. This is the first and only time in John that Jesus is accused of being crazy. All right, it was commonly believed that insanity went hand in hand with demon possession. All right, so some other Jews in Jesus' audience were impressed with both his words and his miraculous deeds, though. So we see that summary of that passage. And we ask ourselves, well, what does that mean for us? How does that impact us? And I know it spoke to me in several ways. And the first one was, Christ was setting his position up and making the plea to those around him that he is the only way to eternal life. He never uses the word love in this passage, but at its core, it is completely covered with it. He wanted to make known our position and his position. Not just known, but completely understood. Oftentimes you see Jesus talking, and he talked in parables, and everybody was always, what is he talking about? In this one, he's like, he's using these phrases, but then he's like, hey, I'm the gate and the shepherd, okay? I am. It's commonly known, are sheep, are they smart animals? I was emphatic, no, they are not. They are quite stupid. I'll get to that in a second. But, and so when we kind of put it in perspective that sheep are dumb and we're referred to them as sheep, it's because we're kind of not so bright sometimes, right? And we need someone to guide us and direct us. Jesus wanted us to know his position. He wanted us to know that he is it. He knew a death on a cross was coming, and he was perfectly starting that process of making known in a bold way that he wasn't just a teacher or a prophet, but he was the Savior of all mankind. Second thing, Jesus, Christ's whole ministry shows us his complete humility. Anyone else in here humble? I always say that's my best quality. Thank you. You know, sometimes you try to jab a joke in here or there and crickets. He spoke of himself in this passage, but not in the way most people might speak of themselves. He did it in a way that was more concerned for others. He does not address his concerns for himself or even when discussing his laying down his own life. His only concern here is for those he loves, which is us. Third thing, his call for us to know his voice and to respond, regardless of the circumstances. We see his calling start in verse 14. And we are to hear his voice and to follow it as he knows his Father's voice and follows him. I don't know if I've ever shared this on a Sunday morning. I know the youth have to hear it all the time and say they probably could tell you better than I could. But for all of you in this room, can you remember hearing that voice for the first time? Because I can. Like yesterday. I was 18 years old. I was actually in my room, and I had had a friend who had been sharing Christ with me almost every day for the course of about 3 or 4 months. And she had actually just finished sharing the gospel message with me again. And I was in that moment. This was back, like, we didn't have cell phones. I couldn't text. So she was that newfangled invention, Instant Messenger, online. I don't know, anybody in here ever use Instant Messenger? Does anybody still use Instant Messenger? Mark Cordray, was it? But she was sharing with me over that, and I remember I was getting ready to exit out of it, and I just read the words again, and I immediately remember hearing an audible voice say, "It's okay." And I just began weeping. And in that moment, I gave my life to him. He wants us to know his voice. And there's a sequence of events that Jesus is setting up here leading to his crucifixion. He wants us to accept him because he is the only way to heaven. He is the sole gate to eternal life. And once we have accepted him, we are to set ourselves aside in an act of humility to serve him unconditionally and others. Thinking of others before ourselves. How good are we at that? Not really that great. And finally, you can combine this with the second step, but to respond to his voice, not in the sense of accepting him, but in continually following him fully. Responding and then going, "Oh, I'm good now," and then going on your way. It's not how this works. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of commitment, following the shepherd. And really, the one thing that I couldn't shake as I reread this passage over and over again is thinking about the fact that our good shepherd's voice does not just call to us once, but it's continually calling us throughout our lives and calling on us to respond constantly to him, never getting in our heads that we are done listening, but we should always be listening for it. This should never get old. I remember after I accepted Christ and plans changed, I had originally planned to go to Eastern Illinois University and major in psychology. And 2 months after I accepted Christ, he said, "Nah, you're not doing that. You're going to go to Bible school." "What? I'm going to..." "No." So I did it. And I remember people telling me, "Why are you doing this? This is just a phase. This is something that's going to come and go." Church, listening, hearing, and responding to his voice is not a fad. It's not something that comes and goes. It's continual. It's something that is an everyday occurrence in our lives, and we need to make sure we're doing it. Our job is to do what our shepherd has commanded of us. And it takes knowing his word to know what those commands are. We tell the youth constantly, you got to read it. You got to be in it. You got to be learning it, digging in. I remember after I said Christ, I could not get enough of this book. I read it all the time. I remember I became that kid at school. It was the second part of my senior year. Like, I would carry my Bible around with me everywhere I went. And I carried it out. I don't know if this was correct or not. So people could see it. I wanted people to see it. That might not have been very humble of me. But look at me. It was important. I could not get enough of it. Because of what's in here. We have to know his word. Sometimes when we stray off, we think, well, maybe we aren't worthy of God, and he doesn't want me because he's not answering me or listening to me anymore. And I'll just tell you, before you jump to such conclusions, I want you to listen to one of a publication from Moody. It says, Dr. Andrew Bonner told me how in the Highlands of Scotland, a sheep would often wander off into the rocks and get into places that they couldn't get out of. The grass on these mountains is very sweet, and the sheep like it, and they will jump down 10 or 12 feet, and then they can't jump back up again. And the shepherd hears them bleating in distress. They may be there for days until they have eaten all the grass, and the shepherd will wait until they are so faint they cannot stand. And then they will jump, put a rope around him, and he will go over and pull that sheep up out of the jaws of death. Why don't they go down there when the sheep first gets there? I asked. Ah, he said, they're so very foolish, they would dash right over the precipice and be killed if they did. And that is the way with men. They won't go back to God till they have no friends and have lost everything. If you are a wanderer, I tell you that the Good Shepherd will bring you back the moment you have given up trying to save yourself and are willing to let him save you his own way. He's always there, willing, waiting for us. And how true is that? I know in my moments of weakness, if I'm still strong enough and spiteful enough, I'm not listening to God. Takes me to be broken, worn down, beaten, to say, you know what, God, I get it. Jesus is the good shepherd, and his love for us is unconditional. He will never leave us. He will never give up on us. We leave him, and we give up on him because we are either too lazy to do what he asks, selfish to give up what he wants us to, or impatient to wait for his answers and his guiding touch. Church, we live in a time where these words echo and make more sense for us than they did when Christ originally spoke them to the folks that didn't get it. He's calling out to us and telling us that he is the only way and that we must follow him. Any other path is destruction. I was reflecting during the music portion of things today that Great songs. But the song This I Believe, it's one I really, really like. But as we are singing it, I was just thinking through my head, how much do I hang on these words? How deep do they go? Let me just read the chorus to you. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Does that echo in your soul? Does that emit from your being? Do people know that? Do people see that in you? We have a mission, church. We're to go and proclaim this. Another year has come and gone. How have you proclaimed this last year? To your friends, to your neighbors, to your loved ones, to your coworkers. We have a mission. So I ask, how do you plan on going into 2018? The same way you went into 2017? Do you know his voice? What promises are you planning to make? I encourage you, allow him to take hold of your plans. Let him be your resolution this year. So the question is, what things of this life are you playing around with and wasting your time with? Because when you are willing to let it go, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, is there to lift you up. You just need to ask. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminders that it brings to our hearts and our souls. Lord, I pray that we stop messing around with faith, that we understand that we are on a mission that was given by you, that when we hear your voice, you want us to listen to it. And it's telling us to go and share and love and pour into others. Lord, I pray we take that seriously. I pray that as a church, as Faith Fellowship, that we take to heart that mission, both individually and corporately, that we put it into practice in our lives each and every day, that when we wake up, that it takes everything within us to just run down the street and just screaming about how awesome and amazing that you are. Because, Lord, you are the Savior, you are the Messiah, and you are worthy of that. You're worthy of us sharing and telling others about you.